Have your Bibles turned to Hebrews this morning, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And this message, I want to put, I like Bible verses that make it pretty simple in the matter of salvation. And I believe it's important that we try to simplify the gospel, simplify the message, make it clear as we possibly can. And this one verse is as strong as any verse I really know in the Bible regarding the message of salvation. So keep that in mind as you read with me this one verse this morning. The Bible says, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." Notice that. They come unto God by him. The Bible says he's able. And seeing he ever liveth to make his intercession for them. Now the Bible says that he is able to save them. Notice it, save them that what? That come unto God by him, and he make his intercession for them. I want to preach on this subject. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Let's pray. And Father, it is what we need this morning. We need to hear from heaven. And I pray, God, that you would use the simplicity of this message to convict a heart, that they might repent and believe the gospel and be eternally saved. We praise you for this opportunity. We praise you for a risen Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love words. I don't play words with friends or anything like that, but I do like words. I like finding the meanings of certain words. Sometimes I may have a hard time articulating those words, but enunciating those words, but I enjoy different words and their meanings. What was interesting that I found out that the average person's vocabulary is around 20,000 words. 20,000. I'd hate to try to write them all down, wouldn't you? Let's say that's the average. They say that most people, although they may have 20,000 words in their vocabulary, on a daily occurrence in most of their life, going through the daily routine, only use 2,000 of those words, and they just use the same words over, okay? 2,000 words, you can put a lot of phrases together, 2,000 words. And so, but not only that, what's interesting is that they say that if you took the entirety of the English language that is in common usage today, there are over 200,000 words that's in common usage in the English language. And if you was to take the entirety of the English language and you start throwing medical terms, scientific terms, historical terms, and all kinds of big words, okay? There's over 3 to 4 million words in the English language that could be used. Now, I wish I had a grasp on all that. I'd do really good on Jeopardy if I did, right? But I don't, you don't, and I'm probably guilty for the most part of my life spending time using somewhere around 2,000 of words over and over again. I enjoy words. Listen, words are part of my business as a preacher and as a pastor. I stand up and preach. I better know the meaning of a few words when I pray. Sometimes we use words that says, I know that we're not trying. I don't ever try to impress God with my vocabulary, okay? I'm going to fail if I do. And you hear that sometimes, but just knowing some words of intercession and some things that's in scriptures, sometimes we use those words. As a parent, your vocabulary changes immensely, right? If you don't believe me, you see someone that they'll talk with their friends and their adults, let them have a baby, and a few weeks later, they start using words like goo-goo and ga-ga and dad-da and mama. And you're like, what happened to those fools, right? Something just changes overnight, the moment you have a child and you bring that child home. I've learned some colorful ways without cursing to speak to my own children, right? So I can't believe you said that. Preacher ain't supposed to cuss them, but you can come up with some colorful ways to talk to them. You coach the kids in the basketball team, and that's Brad. I don't cuss, but I try to come up with some colorful ways to say some things that's unique to grab their attention, and sometimes we have to do that. Words are important, but I want to say to you, the words that we find in the Bible are by far the
the most important words that we will ever study. They should take preeminency over every word, every nuance that we can study. I believe the Holy Spirit chose precise words that He wanted to use in this verse. And I believe it's important. And when we look in here, one of the words that jumps out at me, wherefore He's able to save. Notice that word save. What an important word. We use it every time we come to church. You need to be saved. Has that person been saved? We talk about getting saved. We use that word often and regular and over and over again, probably within that list of the 2,000 words that we repeatedly use time and time again. The word save means to rescue somebody or something from harm or danger. All right, think about that. Rescue somebody or something or someone from harm or danger. Here would be an example we'd use. And if you saved someone from drowning, you jumped in and you drug them out of the river and they prevented them from drowning. If someone was in a vehicle and they was in an accident and the vehicle's on fire. And we had an example of that right here this morning. And I heard Sister Beb talk about when they come in, was trying to put the flames out. And I guess it was the water they was pouring on you, how wonderful that felt when the vehicle was on fire. Saved from an accident. Maybe saved from a burning building. Someone went in and firefighter rushed in, pulled someone out. We saved them from what? From physical harm or danger or imminent peril. You see, the Greek word for saved is sozo. And it means to save, to keep safe and sound, rescue from danger. Very much like our English word. And there's reason that it was translated, saved in the English. You see, we speak of saved. When we speak of that, we're speaking of God's ability to rescue us from danger, God's ability to rescue us from peril, God's ability to rescue from future judgment and the danger of eternal death in the lake of fire. Are you with me? That's what we mean when we speak, I've been saved. God has permanently rescued me from the place of eternal damnation. Man, that's something to rejoice about. That's what God's done. I was headed there. He pulled me out. I was in a deep pit. My feet was in the miry clay. And God lifted me up. Man, we ought to rejoice in what God has done, how He has saved us. And so when we speak of this, we're speaking of His ability. I want to say to you, are you one of them? Notice, He is also able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth, maketh intercession for them. I am thankful to be able to stand here today and say it wasn't based on my ability, based on anything I've done, based on anything I ever will do, not based on me being a pastor or preacher or being a father, being a good person. It's not that. I am saved. I am one of them because of what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. I want to say to you, salvation is about a person. I'll make it just get right to it this morning. Salvation is about a person. You notice in verse, it says that wherefore He. Notice that word He. Who's it referring to? Well, you look back in verse 22, and he goes back and says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. I want to say to you that word He reflects back to Jesus. He is the one that is the He in verse number 25. And I want you to understand that in Acts chapter 4 and 12, it tells us that there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There is not no other name in which a person can enter in to the throne of heaven, enter into the pearly gates. They must go through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not get saved if you try any other way. In fact, let me say to you in John 14 and 6, Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you say you're narrow-minded. Yes, I am. I'm very narrow-minded in many ways, especially when Jesus didn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. I don't want to just rock your boat this morning, but I do not view Hinduism on the same plane and equal with Christianity. I do not view the Quran on the same plane as I do the Word of God. I just do not. Because Jesus didn't say that there was many ways out there. People try to get all sentimental and said, well, I view it like this. We're all trying to get to the top of the mountain. Some people go from this side. Some people go from that side. Some people walk up. Some ride a donkey. Some drive a car up. Some take a helicopter up. And that may sound good. You might get to the top of a mountain that way. But I got news for you. Getting to heaven, you're not going any other way than through Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, there's no other way. He is the way, the truth, the life, period, and it's through Him, God's precious Son, the only way. Look with me, and I want you to understand today, look over in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. You see, salvation is not through the preacher. I can't get you to say. Salvation is not through the church. Church can give me authority to baptize you, but if you've not had true conversion in your heart, that baptism is just going to get you wet. Means nothing. Right? And you say, Brother Grant, that's kind of cruel. Well, listen, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Unless you have truly been born again, baptism means nothing at all. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I didn't bear your sins. The church didn't bear your sins. Jesus Christ bore your sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It says, for we were the sheep going astray, but now turned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Not only do I want you to see that the He, but I want you to notice the Bible says, wherefore He is. Now, I mean, we had a former president, didn't he, kind of play with that word is and it and say, well, it depends on what is means or what it means. You remember that? Amen. Some of you do, thank the Lord. But anyway, I want you to understand, the word is important here. Notice that it says, wherefore He is able. It's a verb. It is present tense. It's a word that means this, that something is possible at this moment. That's what he's saying. Wherefore, He is able. I want you to understand it's possible at this very moment. It can happen right now. He is able. I want you to understand that God wasn't just able to save in the days of the New Testament era. He wasn't just able to save when the church was in its infancy. Jesus wasn't able to save back 50 years ago in your grandfather's day. He wasn't able just to save back in the days of when our forefathers come over here and they had revivals and God used Whitfield and men like that to preach the gospel and people got saved and our Baptist churches flourished in America because of his preaching and God working through him. And listen to me, I want you to understand that God is able to save today. Present tense. Right now, God is able to save. Brother Price, you say this all the time, that God is still in the soul-saving business. God is in the business of saving people. People think sometimes, maybe back then, God needs to be still saves people today. Still pretty simple. You know what the Bible tells us? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and 2, there is a little bit of a warning that we find in the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, and the truth of the matter is this, today if you hear His voice, what? Harden not your heart. You ought to do that, what the book of Hebrews said. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, in verse number 2, he says that, for I saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. No, the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's present tense. You can go to church day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year after year, show up for Easter Sunday. It doesn't, listen to me, if you've not been saved, it doesn't matter. But you can be saved today. All your church going will not get you one closer to heaven. Not one step closer to heaven. I want you to understand that it takes having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why our forefathers called it believer's baptism. That distinguished them from all other groups. Those that sprinkled babies, those that poured water on people, and those that believed in baptismal regeneration. They believed that somehow baptism regenerated you and made you saved. They were different in that they said, no, you get regenerated, you get saved before you're baptized. You see, I call it believer's baptism. And that's it today, dear friends. You must be saved first. You'll find that the promise is all through the Word of God. You see, that's the call in John. He said, today have I secured thee. He said, listen, today is the day of salvation. Listen to me, this, not only that, salvation is a possibility, because it is today, but salvation is about power. The Bible says, wherefore He is what? Able. He is able. We're looking at these words. Words are important. Here's what able means. It means power to do something. You know what he was able to do? He was able to save me in spite of how I was raised. Huh? He was able and saved me in spite of the way I thought. He was able to save me in spite of how filthy I was. He's able to save you regardless whatever you think is hindering you today. He is able to save. God's arm's not shortened that it what? Cannot save. Nor is ear dull that it what? Cannot hear. I want you to understand that God, there is nothing limiting about God. God is not impotent in His ability to save. He has power to save. And you see, we say it means, when we say able, it means power to do something. But I want you to understand that it's a Greek word. The Greek word for able is the source for which we get our English word dynamite and dynamic. In the Greek, it's where we get our word from in the English for dynamite and dynamic. You know what this simply saying here, if I was to break it down? He has a dynamic, explosive power to invade your life and to save you from your sin. That's what the Word of God can do. The Bible says, wherefore He is able. He is dynamic. He is powerful to invade your life. You say, what do you mean invade my life? Let me tell you. People say, well, I don't want to get saved against my will. I got news for you. None of us have a will to get saved. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit invades that will. He come into my private space. He come into my personal space and showed me the need of salvation. You know what God does to you? He comes to you and shows you that you're a sinner. You don't want to hear that. Guess what? The Holy Spirit, when He comes to you, He comes in a way that He makes you uncomfortable. People, and I got news for a lot of people to get made real uncomfortable before they ever get saved. And so the Bible says, right, let me tell you what He does. He comes to us and in a dynamic way and shows us what we are. We are sinner undone before God and deserving of judgment, and there we stand before Him. Dear friend, as the Spirit of God speaks, it's that time that you can respond by faith. You say, Brother Grant, what are you saying? I'm saying to you, He is able. He, thank God, it's about power. He is the one. He can invade our life and save us from our sins and from our darkness. And you say, what do you mean? Well, I want you to understand, it's also the idea of competence too. You see, God is competent in what He does. He's able to do it. What do you mean He's able to do it? Let me tell you something. If I wanted to get my vehicle worked on, my vehicle's tore up, I'm not going to find a 7-year-old boy and say, you ever used a wrench before? You think you can fix that? Now, if you'd ask my son, he'd always say, if you'd ask Isaac Grant, oh yeah, we can do it. They're not too competent in that, but they can tear it apart. Right? I worked at my dad's gas station. He says, son, I won't get upset with you if you try anything. As long as you try it, he said, I'm going to be upset with you. One day a guy come in there, his muffler's busted a little bit, and I grabbed the welder, grabbed the rod, and I turned that thing up and said, I can do this because I've been watching Daddy do this. I was probably about 14, 15, and I turned that thing up, put my line on. I thought I was cutting a perfect bead across through there, and when I got done, that muffler went, boom, hit the ground. Right? Poke, probably. I need a poke. All I did was cut it in half. Amen. And I said, Daddy, you told me if I try, I wouldn't be in trouble, right? I tried all right, but I wasn't competent, okay? It ain't about a matter of trying. I want somebody competent to save. You don't go to the doctor and say, Doc, I just ain't feeling good. And he looks at you and says, you know, what's the hotel everybody stays at and is able miraculously to do great things? What's that hotel? Holiday Inn Express? Yeah. I don't want one that's got his credentials to the Holiday Inn Express. Right? You've been sick for a month, you don't go to somebody, hey, you know much about this? No, but I did stay at Holiday Inn Express last night. You'll find you a different doctor. And if it's real serious, you don't want one that graduated with D's and C's. You want somebody who graduated top of the class, right? You want the best. You want somebody who's got a proven track record. You check them out, see what all their peers are saying about them, what everybody else says about them. You want to know somebody's competent. Man, if I had to have a cavity filled, I want to know that the guy's going to stick the needle in there and numb my mouth knows what he's doing. Right? I want somebody competent. Let me tell you something. I can stand here today and tell you that Jesus Christ is completely competent to save. Not a person here He can't save. If they'll simply repent and believe the gospel, He's able. It ain't about you. You're not competent. You're not able, but He is. Thank God for that. Let me say this. Fourthly, salvation is about perfection. Notice this. He says He is able to save to the uttermost. Not only He saved me presently, He saves me Not only did he save me from my past sins, he saves me from my present sins, and he delivers me from my future sins. Do you know that? He saves me from the uttermost, or what does that mean? I believe he completely or perfectly and utterly saves me. That's what it means, to the uttermost. Perfectly, completely, and utterly. That's what Jesus does. Look in Isaiah 43 and 25, one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 43 and 25. It says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. You know what? I'm thankful that we serve a God that not only forgives, but he forgets. I don't have the ability to forget. You wrong me, I can forgive you, but I don't have the ability to forget. You know what happens? Let me tell you something. The devil jumps up and he starts accusing every one of us. He says, and I'll get that in a minute. But the devil likes to accuse. But God, do you know what? Looks through the blood of his precious son and he has forgot our sins. I'm thankful for that. And you say, what happens if we mess up along the way? I'll tell you what happens. We have an advocate with the Father. But you'll find that Jesus is the one who can completely say, once we're saved, we're secure. I just believe that. You know what? Everybody that's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ has been predestined to heaven. Do you know that? Amen. I wonder what people that do not believe in the security of believer do with those verses. I believe they just kind of, you know, sometimes you read a verse or read a word and you don't know how to say it, Brother Paul. You know what I do? I just kind of say the beginning of the word and the end of the word, and the rest of it I just muffle in between. Anybody else do that? Anybody? Come on, be honest. I always hated being in school. Come on, read this. Somebody get John 3:16. I get something out of Ezekiel with words that made me go cross-eyed looking at them, okay? I mean, that's not God's truth. And so here we was. We was looking at these words. Sometimes it's hard to understand what God is doing. But I want you to understand, God is able to perfectly save completely to the uttermost, thank God. I'm glad that God is able to do that. I'm glad that he's able to secure us. Let me just tell you something. God has predestined every one of us that are saved by the grace of God. One day we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. And these people that don't believe in security of a believer, I believe they have a hard time with a lot of the Bible. A lot of it. And so I'm going to land on heaven's shore, not based on what I've done, but because of what he's done and what he has promised. I'm going through. He didn't say, let us try to get to the other side. You know, he said, when he said to his disciples, they was on the Sea of Galilee, and I think about the Sea of Life. He said, let's go to the other side. You know what they're going to do? I don't care if a storm came. I don't care if the wind came. I don't care if water got in the boat. I don't care if they got scared. They were going to arrive on the other side because why? He said, that's where we're going. Let me tell you, if you're saved, let me tell you where God says you're going. God says you're going to heaven. When does eternal life begin? A moment of belief. That's when eternal life begins. Let me just move on. Salvation is a perfect, utterly, completely saved. And I give 1,000 verse, but I'm not going to because I want to keep moving. I want to say this. Salvation is about potential as well. That's where we get to the heart of the message. Notice it says, wherefore he's able to save who? Them. He's able to save them to the uttermost. That's, we talk about his power, his perfection, the possibility, and the person. But he's able to save them. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing the ever liveth to make it intercession for who? Them. I'm thankful for that. What a bittersweet verse. You say, why is it bittersweet? We are told that this perfect, complete, and utter salvation can be a reality to them. Why is that bittersweet? Because there's many who will not come. Let me tell you, it's available for you today. Salvation is right there for you today. It's available. But you see, here's what it is. It's about potential. You have the potential to be saved, but will you be saved? There's a possibility of being saved, but will you repent and believe the gospel? You see, it's about to them that come. Let me just say this to you today. If you've not been saved, you need to make yourself one of them. Are you one of them that has come to God? Are you one of them that understands what it is? He's able to save you to the uttermost. Do you understand the God that ever liveth to make his intercession for you? Do you understand that? Listen, I want to say that salvation, because it is available, it doesn't mean that it's a surety for everybody. You see, some people thought, oh, Jesus died for... Yes, he did die. He did. He paid the sin's penalty. Because he died on no rugged cross doesn't mean that you get to go there without repenting and believing the gospel. God's pretty exclusive. You know that? Better realize that. Let me move on. And I want you to see something. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's see what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. It says that He is what? The propitiation for our sins. That means He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let me tell you, friends, that Jesus came to die that men might have life. It's there. It's available to them that what? Come to God. Well, you come this morning. You see, Revelation 22 and 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. In Matthew 11, 28, He said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden. God's invitations are not generic invitations. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes. Oh, I understand God's sovereign, but let me tell you something. God is one. When He gives an invitation, He never reneges on it for anybody that will come and simply repent and believe. And you say, what are you saying to me? I'm saying this today. Are you one of them? Are you one of them that will come? And salvation is about a promise. It says He ever liveth. Notice that. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You're going to find some places in the Word of God that just ought to excite your soul. 1 John 2, 1, He says, my little children, these things are right unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, what? We have an advocate with the Father in heaven. Now, we got an advocate. Now, I by no means preach you get saved and live however you want to and you still get to go to heaven. Never said that. Because God's people, they get saved, God changes them.
Right.
Huh? He changes them. That mean we're perfect? No. Mean we mess up? Yeah, we mess up along the way, Brother Steve. We mess up, but God, we have an advocate in heaven. Who is that? He that is able. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven itself making intercession for us. You look in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, I'm going to show you this. I'm just going to preach till I'm done. Romans chapter number 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died. He's the one that condemns. Yea, rather, that is risen again. He not only died, but He's risen again. And He's the one that does the judging. He says, who's even at the right hand of God? Who also what? Maketh intercession for God. If Jesus Christ died for you, He's in heaven making intercession for you. He paid the price for your sins. He bore it. Listen to me. I want you to understand that we have one that is there for us. As an advocate, He is one that is there that we might have liberty to live our lives for His glory. I want you to say that there is a promise. He ever liveth to make His intercession for us. And you say, what are you saying? I want you to pay attention to this. You've never been saved. May not have been in church a lot. Maybe you've been in church a bunch. If you've not been saved, you're still lost. A person that comes to church every Sunday that's not been saved is just as lost as someone that never comes. You know that? And everybody here is going to stand before God. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die and after this judgment. So, and I say this in funerals all the time. I said it the other day. One of us here is going to be next. One of us here is going to be the next one that stands before God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here's what the Bible says. Wherefore He is able to save them. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Wherefore He's able to save them to the uttermost, completely, utterly, perfectly. He's able to completely, utterly save them that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth, maketh intercession for them. Are you one of them? If you're not one of them that's completely, utterly saved, perfectly saved, I want to tell you today, you can be one of them if you'll simply step out and repent of your sins and believe the gospel. Father, I thank You for the Word of God this morning. I'm thankful that it is the tool that we can use to do the work of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces deep. It cuts both directions. And Father, it awakens and stirs the conscience. And if there's anyone here today that's not been saved, may they be one of them that knows what it is to be completely, utterly, perfectly secure in the finished works of Christ. Because Jesus Christ has died to make intercession for them. Pray today will be the day that they say, Lord Jesus, I need You. I need to be saved. Don't ask every head to remain bowed, and I'll not come around and put pressure on you. I don't do that. I believe the Holy Spirit's the one who puts pressure on people, but I just want to pray for you if you want me to pray for you. If you're here and you know you're lost, and you know you need prayers, and you know if you was to die, that you'd go to hell, and you say, "Preacher, will you pray for me?" Anybody raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody here like that this morning that's honest enough? Raise your hand and say, "Brother Grant, please, please pray for me. I know I've not been saved." Maybe you're here and you're wrestling. Maybe you're here and you're not for certain that you've been saved. Maybe you have a hope so salvation. I want to tell you, I wouldn't trust a hope so salvation to get me to heaven. But if you're here and you say, "I hope I'm saved, but I don't know," will you pray for me? Now what I'm seeing from everybody here, everybody's saying they're saved. But you know what? I just want to say this to you. You can hide from me. I'm the only one looking. But God knows and you know. And you'll not ever get away from God. Father, have your way in this invitation. It's not for my to stroke my ego. God, it's for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.